the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me test where you are at. When I say baptism of the Holy Spirit, what comes to mind? John the Baptist. Okay, Brother Glenn? Burial. Okay, that's interesting. What else? What comes to mind? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Getting baptized and the Holy Spirit comes in. Good. Anyone else? Okay. What is the baptism of, if I say baptism of the Holy Spirit, what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's baptism of the Holy Spirit? Sister Sarah? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, okay. Born again, okay. Baptized into Christ. Deacon Russell, I thought. On the day of Pentecost, okay. Leaving the old man behind. Why? Because he can't run. Pardon? Rebirth. So kind of spiritual rebirth. Okay. It's very... Okay, Sister Joan. Speaking in tongues. Okay. That is the Pentecostal position. So you are a typical old traditional Pente. Hallelujah. Okay. It is very interesting that all the four gospels, every single one of them recorded what John the Baptist prophesied about Jesus. That he said, I baptize you with water, but the one that is coming after me, who I'm not even worthy to untie his lace, he said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. Hallelujah. So he said, I'm only paving the way for him to come. And it's very interesting that all the gospel writers, and even it's repeated in Acts, all the gospel writers recorded what John the Baptist prophesied about. That the one, the Messiah, when he comes, the unique aspect of his ministry will be that he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with power. So they all recorded it. Let's have a look. Matthew chapter 3. I want to, you know, the Jewish people, this is called Hebraism. It's called Hebraism. The Jewish tradition, if they want to emphasize something, if they want to stress on a particular point, they will say it twice. So if it's very cold, instead of saying, oh, the weather is very cold today, they will just say cold, cold. They will just repeat it twice. Cold, cold. That means it's very cold. So here, the Holy Spirit is using the same tradition by making sure that all the gospel writers recorded what John said about Jesus, that he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with power. Matthew, let's start with Matthew, the first one, even though it was not the first to be written, but it's the first in our Bible. Which Bible in the New Testament, which was the first book to be written? Anyone that gets it right, I'll give you the mic to preach. Which book was the first to be written? Luke? No. In the Bible, New. No, in the New. In the NT. Revelation? Acts? Some of you, no, you are guessing so that you can. You keep guessing so that you can get it right. James was the first to be written, the brother of Jesus, James. Okay, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. And when they had come, Matthew 3:11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. No, where am I reading? No, Matthew 3:11. I was reading somewhere else. Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So here he's defining his type of baptism. I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, a lot of believers are baptized with the Holy Spirit, but the fire bit is missing. The fire bit is missing, and that's what we need in the church. He will not just baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's why when they, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they saw cloven tongues of fire, because Jesus comes to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit and with fire. We need that fire back in the church. We need the fire bit back in the church. Now, let's look at the second one, Mark. Mark, the second gospel. Mark was very brief. And I think of the gospels, Mark was the first to be written. Mark chapter 1. Of the Gospels, Mark was the first. Mark chapter 1, verse 8. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do you think that the gospel writers are all recording this because they have nothing better to say? They're just repeating each other? The Holy Spirit wants to emphasize the importance of the ministry of Jesus, that he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He wants us to know the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our ministries, that we cannot do without him. So Mark also said it. Dr. Luke is also going to say it. Dr. Luke. Luke chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Straightforward. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but the one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So Dr. Luke is also adding the fire bit. Mark left it out, but Luke has added it. You know why? Because the law says that by two or three witnesses, every word is established. Every word is established. So, this is the third witness that Jesus will baptize his people, the church, with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. With the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, let's look at the next one. John. It's very interesting that Apostle John recorded it as well, because his gospel, it's the gospel that is totally different to the three. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are known as synoptic because they are quite similar. Because of their similarity, it's called synoptic gospel. But John is very much different. John is very, very much different. So we see here that John is also recording the same thing. John chapter 1, verse 33. Let's start from 32. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him. He did not know him. They were cousins. So what does it mean, I did not know him? Can anyone have a guess? I did not know him. They were cousins. Pardon? There's.
Yeah.
So why is he saying I did not know him? Pardon? He didn't have intimate knowledge. Good attempt. I did. What are you saying? I did not know him. Yes, Takasi. Well, yeah, that's good. That means that he knew him as a cousin physically, but when the Spirit came upon him, that's when he recognized him as the Messiah. That's when he recognized, my cousin is the Messiah. Hallelujah. So that's what he's saying. He said, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he was sent, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Hallelujah. So there you go. That is our main, the four gospels, recognizing the ministry of Jesus, that he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, let's look at Acts' version of recording it. So all the Gospels recorded it. Now Acts is the ministry of the church, the apostles. So the Acts of the Apostles. And they're also going to record it. From verse 4. This is the last words of Jesus to his disciples before he was taken to heaven. And we know that the last words of a person is very, very important. Very, very important. The last words of a person. The last wishes of a person before they die. And being verse 4, Acts 1, 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So when he said that to them, because already it's been recorded, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, four said that he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. They all emphasize. And now, before he left, he's telling them, wait. Don't fool around. Don't go back to do your own business and to do your own stuff. Wait. Wait. For the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So he's told them several times. He has told them several times. about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time? Then they're asking a theological question. So his last words to them before he left, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. No wonder most of them, 120 of them, on the day of Pentecost, if he didn't make those emphases, I'm sure most of them would have been less, remained for the baptism. But because he told them several times, and even before he left, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. So 120 waited in the upper room 10 days. Apparently, Apostle Paul revealed to us that 500 people were told to wait. And some were waiting. They waited and waited and they got fed up. I have better things to do, and they went. So they missed out. They missed out on the outpouring. They missed out on the outpouring. Even though Jesus said it to them several times, and before he left, his last words, wait for the promise. Wait for the promise of the Father. 120 waited, and on the 10th day, the promise of the Father was poured out. The Holy Spirit came. Fire! And as I preached a couple of weeks before, same failures because of the baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit turns failures into what? Successes. Hallelujah. Okay, now let's look at another prophecy. Joel chapter 2. And Peter will quote this on the day of Pentecost. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2, 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. Afterward, afterward. And it shall come to pass afterward. So this is referring to the coming day of Pentecost, that they're going to be outpouring. But the afterward is referring to the afterward, after Jesus the Messiah has paid the price for our sins, then the promise will be poured out. And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, Jewish flesh, Gentile flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. So this is another promise that was given, that God, after the Messiah has paid the price for our sins, he will pour out his spirit on Jewish flesh, Gentile flesh. Hallelujah. And the Jewish people thought it was just for them. But God's ultimate plan is for all flesh. Hallelujah. So, there you go. Five times it's recorded. Five solid times that he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And John emphasized that in John chapter 15, John chapter 14, 15, 16. He emphasized the role of the Holy Spirit. So, what did Jesus say about it? He said so many. Let's look at John chapter 3. I'm laying a strong foundation for the baptism, so that when you are baptized, you will not slip and fall and break your neck, but you'll be solid. You'll be on a solid ground. John chapter 3. Even the baby is excited about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water," water baptism by immersion, "unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So water baptism is baptism by immersion. And then spirit baptism, someone said it's like the Niagara Falls. The baptism is from above. So the baptism, immersion by water, you dipped in the water. Make sure you are totally soaked and cleansed. And then immersion is when you are baptized from above. And a gushing out. So none of you escapes. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Someone said that about 100 references are made to the Holy Spirit in the Bible. His role, you see, the Holy Spirit, he's like, the Holy Spirit is the creative force of the Godhead. Remember, in creation, there was, you know, the earth was void and full of darkness, and the Spirit of God hovered. So he is the creating force of the Godhead. He makes things happen. And likewise, in the church, you know, there's a lot of chaos in the body of Christ. There's a lot of chaos in the church. He will sort it out. He will sort it out. And he will sort our lives out to the point that before we go to be with the Lord, we will be spotless. Purifies us, cleanses us. And those that remain when Christ comes, those that will be raptured, they will be changed in the twinkle of an eye. And that's the Holy Spirit. Because God is not going to present to his bride his son, a filthy bride, will he? You know, before wedding, a bride is it's a mess, tired, but on the day, she comes out looking so beautiful. And that's what's going to happen to the church. We may not look right now, but he will get us sorted before we meet his son. Hallelujah. So now, I'm coming to definition now. Spirit baptism reproduces the ministry of Jesus in us. The ministry of Jesus in us. Hallelujah. On Friday, we had this minister guy who came to breakfast, and he was speaking to people and telling them that he is Ian. He's not Ian, but he said he's Ian because Christ Ian. So he's the Ian bit because he's a Christian. The Holy Spirit comes to reproduce the ministry of Jesus in our lives. Jesus didn't do a single thing without the move of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit inspiring him. And that's the pattern for us in ministry. So, When we are baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit already, you cannot be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The first person of the Godhead that we meet before we become born again is the Holy Spirit. The first person that gets contact with us, the first person that we experience is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convicts us of sin. He's the one that woos us. He's the one that leads us to Christ. So, we cannot get born again without the Holy Spirit. So, if you are born again, it means that you have the Holy Spirit. Is that right? If you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit, because you cannot be born again without the Holy Spirit. So, if you say you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not born again. Okay. Definition. Baptism in the Holy Spirit can be defined as the moment of salvation when the Holy Spirit places a believer into permanent union with Christ and with other believers in the body of Christ. So, the Holy Spirit, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in us. And at that moment, He unites you with Christ. So He comes to live with us, He unites you with Christ, and then also He unites you with the brethren, other believers. So you can't be truly born again and be fighting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Something is seriously wrong. Because if the Holy Spirit is truly in your life, He brings a union between you and your brothers and sisters. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians. Sometimes you hear people say things like, "Oh, I love Jesus, but I can't stand His church." That is contradiction. If you truly love Jesus, you will love His church. It's like someone saying, "Oh, I love, you are married, a couple," and you said, "Oh, I love the wife, but I hate the husband." It doesn't work like that. It's not correct, is it? Because they are one. You can't love one part and hate the other. 1 Corinthians, so if you have a friend who loves you but hates your partner, don't be friend to that person. That brings confusion. If he truly loves you, he will love your partner too. And that's how it is. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For what is it in which you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not... where am I? Oh, I'm reading second. Sorry, my goodness. So I thought it would be the other one. But okay, it's because I was in the 1 Corinthians 12. Yes, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. I hope I've got it right. Yeah, 12, 13. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Is that in your Bible? We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. So, we have all been baptized in water, and we've been made to drink by one Spirit, in one Spirit. And for As the body is one, verse 12, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and many have been made to drink and have all been made to drink into we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So, if you are a child of God, truly born again, you have been baptized into one Spirit. You see, I didn't mention anything about speaking in tongues. So I'm here to challenge our Pentecostal view. It didn't mention speaking in tongues. It said we have all been made to drink one Spirit, one. So you are baptized if you are truly born again in one Spirit. You are baptized. Now, the Holy Spirit lives in us and He comes with gifts. And tongues is one of the gifts. In fact, it's a list of the gifts. Because it needs another gift for it to be interpreted. So, the gifts are still available to us. But if you don't speak in tongues, that doesn't mean that you are not baptized in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit already lives in you. You see what I'm saying? There are great men and women in history who didn't speak in tongues but were mighty and powerful in the Holy Ghost. How do you explain that? And yet, there are believers who speak in tongues and they live carnal. So that alone does not qualify it. And Pentecostals teach that, speaking in tongues is the initial sign of being baptized. No, it's not scriptural. Speaking in tongues is a gift that you can receive when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. But it's not everyone receives that. I believe God wants all of us to receive it, but it's not everyone that receives it. John Wesley didn't speak in tongues. The greatest apostle that lived in this nation didn't speak in tongues. One man, God used him so much. He did so many things. He even cast out demons and all sorts. So we have to revise our theology. If that begs the question, if we are all baptized in the Spirit, how is it that some people are on fire more than others? Some are lukewarm and they are still baptized with the Spirit. Some are on fire. They are baptized with the Spirit but are on fire. So what is the reason? Why is it that some are on fire and some are not? If we are all baptized in the Spirit, same Spirit. Do you know that it's the same Spirit that the apostles were baptized with? And yet look at the work that the apostles did. The early church, the first century church. I mean, we can't compare ourselves with them. What they did, no comparison. So if we are all baptized with the same Spirit, we have the same Holy Ghost, why are there differences? Why are some really on fire for God and some are not? I'll tell you why. Very simple. It depends on how much you yield yourself to the Spirit that is in you. He's our helper. So when you see someone being used greatly, it's because that person has yielded himself or herself to the Holy Spirit, that he or she has become a vessel of honor that the Holy Spirit can use for his pleasure. In fact, a lot of us, we grieve, quench, and resist the Spirit while we knowing. We don't know him. But because we call him the Holy Spirit, some people think that he's like a ghost that is hiding in the church. You see what I'm saying? He's a person. Even though he's a spirit, but he's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. He's not a ghost that is hiding in the dark in the church. And then when you turn the lights on, he vanishes. He's a person. And he can easily be grieved. He can easily be quenched. He can easily be resisted. That's why Stephen said to the Jewish nation, he said, you always resist the Holy Spirit. You always resist. And that's why we don't see results, because we are always resisting him. And a lot of times, the things that he tells us to do doesn't make sense to us, because we are not sensitive to his spirit. We have not yielded to him. So the things that he says to us doesn't even make sense. We don't even know when he's speaking. We don't even know when he's not speaking. That's why today, we live in the end times, and you know, things are going to get worse. There's so much fortune telling going on in the church, and they said it's the Holy Spirit, because we don't really know him. Fortune telling in the church. Necromancia spirit is in the church, because we don't know the Holy Spirit. Because we don't know. We don't know. And yet, we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I will show you next week. I don't think I'll have time today, but I will show you next week in Scripture where people were baptized, people who were baptized in the Spirit of us speaking in tongues. Scripture gives us both. And when you read the accounts in the house of Cornelius, they were not even born again. But as they heard the word and they were convicted in their hearts, they didn't make a decision for Christ. The Holy Spirit came and baptized them. How do you explain that? They were not even born again, but straight away they were baptized in the Spirit. Why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Remember, Jesus said, Matthew, we'll look at all those next week. Why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And at the end of the teaching of the baptism, we'll lay hands on you for the fire of the Holy Spirit to be activated in you in the name of Jesus. It's there. Don't put it to sleep. Matthew 18. Why do we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. We need that fire to be rekindled. Matthew 18. The fire is already there. When we ask for fire, God is not just going to send it from heaven. It's already there. It needs to be activated. Matthew 18:19. No, I will leave that one. Let's Luke 10. I think I got the wrong. Let's look at Matthew 28 instead. Matthew 28. Yeah, I think that's the scripture it should have been. And Jesus came, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, he said, go and make disciples. Don't just make disciples, but make sure that, he said, he baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit there being the Spirit baptism. Why? Because when they are baptized and you lay hands on them, the Holy Spirit will come upon them. He will endue them with power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. The reason why God gives us power is because the enemy that we are dealing with has power. So if he doesn't give us power, the enemy will just devour us. He will just make mincemeat of us. So he said, I give you power over. So the enemy has power, but he will give us greater power. The enemy has power, but he hasn't got authority because he's a rebel. We have power with authority. We've been authorized to exercise the power that has been given to us. The enemy's power is not authorized. He lost it in heaven, but he still has power that it is. He's rebelling, but he still has power. Ephesians 5:18. The Holy Spirit is our helper who comes to help us in our infirmities. Ephesians 5. Are you there? Ephesians 5:18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So be filled, and do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If they are already born again, the Holy Spirit lives in them. Why is Apostle Paul writing to the church? They must be filled. It's a continuous thing. Be filled and being filled. It's a continuous, in the Greek, it's a continuous pronoun. You are filled and it's a continuous process. You don't just say that, oh, I was filled 20 years ago. And you expect that 20 years filling to still sustain you in 2017? Hallelujah. We need to be filled and be continuously filled daily. Because we live in a fallen world. And we leak. The anointing of our life leaks. Because sometimes you go and you say the wrong thing and you lose something. So we need to be top up. We need topping up. It's like if your car is leaking oil, you need to be topping it all the time. Otherwise, the engine will blow up. It's the same thing. We leak because we live in a fallen world and because we are imperfect people. We have a perfect spirit living in an imperfect people. So we need to be topped up all the time. We need to be topped up and refreshed. Our oil is leaking all the time, so we need fresh oil. Amen. If your oil is leaking every morning, you have to check it if the oil gauge if it's too low. And that's what we need to do. Next week, I will show you scriptures about when they were filled and didn't speak in tongues. Acts 10. Let's finish off with Acts 10, 44. Peter was sent to Cornelius' house because he has been praying and believing God. Peter didn't want to go because he was going to Gentile home. And the Holy Spirit had a shock for him. Jews were not supposed to go to Gentile homes, but he went because he was sent by the Holy Spirit. So Acts 10:44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The Holy Spirit didn't even ask Peter's permission. The Holy Spirit didn't ask Peter, these are Gentiles. You don't believe they can be saved. Can I pour my spirit upon them too? He didn't ask Peter's permission. Whilst Peter was speaking, because he knew that if he waited on Peter, Peter would never lead them to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? He knew that if he waited on Peter, Peter will not lead them to the Lord. So whilst Peter was speaking the word, the Holy Spirit used the word to convict them. And then he poured out his spirit. So whilst Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. So possibly it was not everyone in Cornelius' house. It was those that heard the word. You know, sometimes you can be in a service, you're preaching, and it's not everyone hearing. Some are on their phone, playing their phone, and all kinds of stuff. But it's those that heard. It's not everyone in the house. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Those of the circumcision are the Jewish people that Peter went with. When they heard, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. So this is one of the scriptures they use that, oh, it's the initial sign that they were born again. But it's not every time. It's one. It's so they receive the gift as well. It's like sometimes when people get baptized, some people, when they get baptized, they come out of the water speaking in tongues. But that doesn't mean that everyone does that. That experience doesn't happen to everyone. Anyone here, you came out of the water speaking in tongues? Anyone here? You see what I'm saying? The only one I've seen is Pastor Pamela's dad came out of the tongues. Sorry, out of the tongues. Out of the water speaking in tongues. So, let's finish it off. But it does happen. It's an incredible experience. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as one of Peter, because the gift of the Holy had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify the Lord. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid? So he realized the Holy Spirit is doing something that he was not in control of. Most of the time we think we are in control. No, the Holy Spirit is in control. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So they were baptized in the Spirit before they got baptized in water. So we can't make it a law that you have to be water baptized before you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues, or before you can receive the gift of tongues. So that's what I'm trying. We can't put God in a box. He is God. He does what he likes. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Hallelujah. So get ready for next week. Pray for fresh baptism. Already, as I said, if you are born again, you are already baptized in the Spirit. But you need fresh fire so that you can continue to walk in the ways of the Lord, and God will help you to minimize grieving, quenching, and resisting His Spirit. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks for today. We give you praise. We give you thanks for today. Thank you that we are all baptized in the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we ask you to help us. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Help us to get to know you better so that we will not grieve, quench, or resist your spirit. Teach us your ways. And let your will be done in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to help us to be continuously filled on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, help us not to grieve, quench, or resist your spirit. And help us to be baptized with the fire of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.